You're listening to Don's Cast, an unofficial fans podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
And I'm Nick.
And mate, what a great feeling to be 4-1 and after just beating one of the premiers of the last couple of years in Melbourne. A fantastic win.
Certainly was, mate. And it's probably one of the few games we've watched in recent history, mate, where you kind of felt like we had control for the vast majority of the game. And it definitely was a four-quarter effort. And indeed, I suppose a full team effort. I didn't really have any passengers, in my mind, when I sort of looked back and went to do my votes. Everyone played their role. And, it was just fantastic to see. It was a real, for me, it seemed a bit of a real coming-of-age kind of game. Like we sort of seen over the last few weeks, we've had our deficiencies and had areas where we need to develop. But the way we sort of controlled the match, the tempo, it was really promising. And I know that's not going to be consistent, what we get all the time, but it was fantastic to see and, to take out the game at the end of the day by, was it 4 goals or so? You've got to be happy with that.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing too is there was a period where Melbourne really took a hold of us for a little while, and they kicked 4 goals in a row.
Yep.
And our response to that was to keep them goalless for almost an hour. So, in previous years and even as early as last year, when the team got a hold of us by 4 goals, well, you may as well write off the game because there was no resolve. Mm-hmm. We just went to work and, as you said, everyone played their part and, the linking handballs were just brilliant and, we were cutting through them right from back line to the front half, coast to coast sometimes. Against a very good team in Melbourne, it's no easy effort and it shows you a lot of good work's gone into it.
Absolutely, mate. And I think, the really pleasing thing for me was we were a lot harder at the contest, and particularly for a wet weather game where that hasn't been our specialty in recent years, Jane. We've usually sort of fallen apart in those wet weather, a bit like papyrus in the wet. The way we were able to keep our heads over the footy and go really hard at the ball. I mean, you look at players like Snelling, Setterfield, Durham. Like, they're not flashy by any means, but they just crack in really hard. Like, there was, Setterfield and Snelling each had 10 tackles to the name, James, which is absolutely brilliant. Durham, was cracking in really hard. There was that one in the fourth quarter, James, where the Melbourne player tried to get the ball off the deck and Durham just, rammed his shoulder into him fairly, just to let him know that he wasn't going to lose that contest. And we just haven't had that kind of aggression at the ball or the ball carrier for that matter for years. And it was just fantastic to see. And not even just that, like our marking ability. And again, particularly on a wet day, was fantastic. I thought our two rucks, Draper and Phillips were absolutely fantastic. And, to take 89 marks on a wet day like that, I thought it was fantastic. The contested marks, 11 of those, which is brilliant. Tackle numbers were up really high. So 71 tackles over the course of the game, James, to the D's 55. And, it was just an all-round four-quarter team effort that was excellent to see.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Now, we did have some cause of concern when Zach Merritt was cited and subsequently given a 1 week ban, which we are appealing, which I'm pleased to say. And let's hope that we can win that appeal because, obviously there was no malice in that. And, the Melbourne player got up and took his kick and Zach even gave him a pat on the back, as soon as it happened. And, I understand the AFL's want to crack down on, the potential of concussions and so forth, but this seems like an overreach and, I really hope that Zach can win this appeal.
Yeah, well, I think it's not only for Zach's sake, it's for the sanity of the AFL, really. I mean, when you got players elbowing one of the Essendon players in the head, and that doesn't seem to cause too much uproar. Whereas this tackle where, Zach Merritt, the way I see it, James, in the wet, his arm has slid over, and he sort of tackled in front on, which does look awkward. But when he brings him down, he brings him down on top of himself. So it's not like he's ramming his head into the dirt or anything like that. As you say, he had the D's player had his arms free. So one arm around the footy. The other one he decided, not to
protect himself.
Protect himself and all the rest of it. So I think, realistically, that on a wet day, I don't see why that was even cited, let alone given a week for that. I'd never say never, given the AFL. I'd be dumbfounded if that is given a week when we've seen, stuff from the likes of Harry Mackay, that was given the okay. I don't see that tackle being malicious, as you say, nor worthy of a weak ban.
Yeah, and we also saw in the St Kilda Collingwood game, Taylor Adams do a bit of a sling tackle.
Yep.
Not cited. We forget about that one. Now they're saying that the reason that was not looked at was because there was other players around the football, so you couldn't solely put it on Taylor Adams. But to me, he's the one who chose to sling.
Yep.
And I don't want Adams to go for that either. But I'm saying, out of fairness, it should be all right. We want the sling tackle out, so we're going to go hard at everyone that tries to do it or does it. And unfortunately, it can get you very pessimistic about how one is looked at totally different to another. And mate, you brought up about the Essendon player get elbow in the head. I think it was Laverty against the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And they took that to the tribunal. Now, that was out of frustration. That guy elbowed him in the head.
Yep.
And he got off, just a fine. And, so if you're frustrated, you can get someone in the head, but you can't sling them to the ground in a tackle. And as you say, mate, it wasn't I didn't think it was a careless act by Zach. I think it was just in the course of the tackle. And as you said, he tried to take him to ground with his body underneath him so that he took a bit of the impact of him going to ground.
Yep, absolutely. So I guess we'll wait on the results of that, but I'd be pretty disappointed if he did, cop a week for it.
Yeah, well, let's get straight into the game because it was the AFL gather round and the Bombers played Melbourne at 10, I think it's 10 past 4 Melbourne time. And, look, mate, going into the game, I'll be honest, I was a bit trepidatious about it because I thought, Melbourne were premiership favourites and, our wins admittingly had been against teams that hadn't started the season so well in, Hawthorn, Gold Coast and GWS. This was our first legitimate test, and we were up for the scrap.
Certainly were, mate. I thought we started pretty well early. I mean, we saw Langford have a have a ping up goal, unfortunately missed, but soon enough we were able to steady through Will Snelling, who kicked his first, and well done to Will for working his way back to the ones. And I think that goal to start us off, obviously, what do you call it? Like, prove the worth of his selection.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing I took from these first couple of quarters, Jamie, and obviously we'll talk about it throughout the game, was that combination of Phillips and Draper going up against Grundy. Phillips, as we've seen, in years gone past, has a tendency to really monster Grundy because he's such a physical ruckman. Obviously, Grundy gets him around the ground, but that's where Draper was able to, I suppose, get into his straps there. But we saw that rewarded pretty soon on the scoreboard when Andrew Phillips kicked a a beautiful goal.
Yeah, fantastic. And it felt Melbourne really going to miss Max Gawn in this game, because yeah, it was their strength having their two, you know, probably if you look at them on paper, they're probably the two best ruckmen in one side. On paper is Gawn and Grundy. But yeah, Andrew Phillips really did a great job and, you know, put us on the scoreboard early.
Certainly did, mate. The D's hit back soon after when Keziah Pickett kicked one through. And look, he's a class player, Jane. Very hard to keep blokes like that down. Jakey Stringer had a flash, but unfortunately was unable to put it through. And that's where we saw Bailey Fritsch kick two in a row. And at that stage, I know it's only two goals, Jane, but Fritsch is a classy player. I mean, we saw what he did on grand final day. 2021. He can kick a few on his day, and they were starting to look dangerous. But fortunately, we're able to wrestle back momentum, and we saw goals to Draper and Martin in pretty quick succession before Draper steadied up again and kicked his second.
Yeah, that was really good. And I want to give a shout out to Nick Martin's goal. That was in traffic. And just the way that he just had such conviction that he was going for goal and steered it through. You know, he has got that class about him, hasn't he, Nick Martin?
Certainly does, mate. And I will say for Draper, he's we've lamented his kicking at times, Jane. That I think it was his first goal was from about 30 odd meters out on a bit of an angle, and he managed to steer that one straight through. I thought was a great reward for effort for him, because he was presenting very well as a marking target, but to get reward, kicking one through the big six was excellent. And I think that was definitely, we saw it throughout the game, where it's definitely a tactic that Brad Scott used to really stretch Grundy, because obviously Grundy, like, he's so mobile and gets around the ground so well, but we found him out defensively. I thought, Phillips and Draper really put him to task, when they drift forward. Fortunately for us, Grundy just didn't have answers for him. And I think we were definitely very fortunate. Max Gawn remains injured. But then closing out the term, unfortunately, we let through a red time goal to old time bomber Jakey Malksham, who had a couple of opportunities at it, really. We saw Jaden Laverty go toe to toe with him, chasing for that hard ball, and was able to sort of beat him to it. But Malksham was able to butter up for the second and kick through. You have to say a pretty good goal from the pocket there to end that term. And at the end of all that, we were up by the 8 points, so 5 goals, 4, 34 to the D's, 4 goals, 2, 26.
Yeah, and started well, obviously, and said that red time goals always hurt you. There's no doubt about that. And yeah, you just hoped that we could, hold ourselves, because we knew that Melbourne were going to come out ready to try and, maybe put us under a bit of pressure. And they certainly did that at the start of the second term.
They did, mate. Jakey Malksham got his second. We saw Harry Jones have a shot at goal, but unfortunately wasn't able to put it through. And that was followed soon after by, I'd say, a dubious free to Van Leeuwen. James,
yep.
For basically Draper supposedly shoving him under the ball, I think, really he just lost his footing. And but anyway,
Draper thought it was pretty funny, actually.
He had a good laugh, didn't he? But that's all you can do in that. You either laugh or you cry, right? But you have to say Ruin was good enough to kick it through. And Cozzy Pickett followed up with his second. And that's where you say, James, like, they'd kick four in a row, and we'd seen in years gone by that we capitulated at some stages like that. And has to be said as well, Redmond tried to dig us out of that with another roost from 50, but unfortunately that was touched right on the line from Grundy, which disappointed. But fortunately, We're able to pick ourselves up, and we saw Harrison Jones get his first goal for a number of games.
Yeah, he'd been really been held goalless in a number of games coming up to this one. And, you know, Harry, it was a testing range for him because even though it was straight in front, about 30 metres out, he has missed them before.
Mm.
So it was great to see him get on the scoreboard. You know, it would have helped his confidence, I have no doubt.
Certainly did, mate. We saw Fritsch have another ping, but luckily he missed that one before Phillips bobbed up again for his second goal. And that was a really commanding mark he took there, Jane. And he went back and duly slotted it, which was great to see because, you know, last week he played well against the Giants. But he missed that sitter from right out in front. So I'm sure he was making sure he was putting that through the big sticks, which is great to see. And Kyle Langford bobbed up for his first goal of the day.
Yeah, fantastic. And Kyle he's been our Mr. Fix-It all year. He's, you know, going from back to forward. And with our makeshift forward line, he played a little bit more forward this week and, you know, kicked a nice goal there.
So they did. Then went to and fro for a bit. We saw the two enigmas, Jake Stringer and Petrarca, both have shots for goal, but both missed with Draper then bobbing up for his third.
Yeah, three goals, and he had a big entourage watching on. Former Adelaide guy himself, South Australian, and yeah, he kicked his third, and yeah, he was really putting on a show.
Certainly was, mate. It was great to see. We maintained control of the footy, which is really great to see. Unfortunately, we didn't get full reward from that. You know, we had behinds to Caldwell, Setterfield, and Shield, but it was good to see we kept attacking, which is excellent. And that had us leading at halftime by 17 points. So we had 9 goals, 10, 64 to the D's, 7 goals, 5, 47.
I thought it was great that, as you said, from the first quarter to the second, Melbourne kicking those 4 goals, but us extending our lead at the main break. And, we led by 8 points at quarter time, and to stretch out to 17 after letting them kick 4 goals, it was. Said a lot about our resolve.
It certainly did, mate. Then the third term rocked around, and it has to be said, Jamie, I think we were pretty fortunate in a number of ways in this third term. Whether it was because Melbourne felt sort of spooked by the pressure, they just didn't have their kicking boots on. But realistically, it was also our defenders really making it difficult for the D's. I mean, Zerk Thatcher had sort of gone down a bit early in the game. It looked like he'd done an ankle. And all us Bomber fans in our hearts and our throats just thinking, oh, bloody hell, like he's one of the least we'd like to see down. But I tell you what, he looked like he only had one leg during the game, but he kept finding a way to get to contest, which was fantastic. McGrath, Ridley were commanding down back, and each time they kept presenting up forward, we were able to swat it away from him, which is great to see. We saw opportunities to call while we unfortunately didn't have his kicking boots on again.
Two games in a row.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, after kicking those flashy ones a couple of weeks ago, he just hasn't been able to fight it. But luckily, we saw Jakey Stringer get on the end of one and kick one through before Kyle Langford kicked an absolute ripper. Really made May look a bit silly in the end. And I think that showed real craft, James. Like, Kyle Langford just read that ball so well, and he noticed the positioning of May going for that footy, and he just bumped him enough to, put him, off his footing to allow Langford to swoop on the ball and have that ping on goal. Where, May just had no opportunity to make that space back. I thought it was really clever play from Langford.
Yeah, he really bodied him. And, probably the ease that he did that against a very strong May surprised me. And just his recovery to try and get to Langford was pretty poor, I thought. But regardless, the way that from about 45 metres, Langford was able to steer that ball through, sliding it around the ground, was fantastic. And yeah, well done to Cole kicking his second.
Yeah, it was a great goal. And then we saw Archie Perkins bob up for one. And again, this one I think is like it's reward for effort, because we'd seen him a few times in the game. Like, he hadn't had huge disposal numbers or anything like that. But one thing he was doing the whole game was maintaining his feet, like staying upright, maintaining his composure. And even though he had bodies all around him, he'd find a way to stay up in the tackle and get a hands out, or a kick up forward. So him being able to get on the scoreboard was excellent. Jackie Stringer had another missed shot for goal, but again, he's getting shots for goal. And I think, while we'd love him to kick more goals, it can't be understated the importance of just his ability to find scoring opportunities, Jay. To end out that third quarter, we'd stretched our lead again. 12 goals, 13, 85 to their 7 goals, 7, 49. And as you mentioned, James, we kept them goalless that quarter, which I think was, great to see.
Yeah, very good. And as you said, we were just cutting them up through the midfield, with our transition from the back line right through the forward line, but just a beautiful way we were handballing and linking up with one another. It was really a great sight to see.
Certainly was. Now, in that third quarter, James, we saw Harry Jones go off reportedly with a potentially an ankle injury. Now, I haven't seen anything further on that, James. Let's hope it's just minor and precautionary. But that was the end of him for the day. And we saw Nick Hind pull on the jumper to take his position as sub. And, after Petrarca kicked that goal, we saw Nick Hind bob up and kick his first of the day.
And what a great goal it was. He really curved that. It had a nice curl to it under a lot of pressure. It was a beautiful goal.
Certainly was, mate. It was great to see dividends from the forward pocket days he spent at St Kilda. So he had that craft about him, which is great to see. Melbourne bit back pretty quickly, though. Cade Chandler kick run through before Nick Hind again got involved and kick his second.
And that was off a very nice mark, something that you're not really accustomed to seeing Nick Hind take, but it was, you'd have to say, contested, and it was a really good mark, and he went back and slotted it.
Certainly did. We saw Fritsch have another shot at goal and miss before Nick Martin again bobbed up and kicked another beautiful goal. And, what a play this bloke is, James.
Yeah, and that was off the back of a very smart handball from Jake Stringer. Had a lot of bodies around him and really just hoiked the handball, but he did it in such a way that Martin just had to throw a boot at the footy and it went straight through. So, I'll give a bit of a goal assist there to Jake Stringer.
Absolutely. No, it's great to see. Now, we saw a couple of later goals to Melbourne. Alex Neil-Bullen came on. James Jordan kicked another. For a flurry of misses, we saw Pickett, Rivers, Viney. When they kicked that, when Jordan had kicked that goal, James, there was still enough time for them to have us nervous, I'd have to say. But the way we shut them out and, didn't allow them more easy shots on goal was good. We maintained our pressure, even though Melbourne kept at us. And I thought, at the end of the day, to run out 27-point victors, 15-14, 104 to their 11 goals, 11, 77, was just an excellent all-round performance. And, I guess that's the kind of stuff that, you love to see as a fan. Of course, you'd love to win by more and kick straight 100% of the time. But it's the unfailing effort you saw in that game against a real quality opponent that gives you greater confidence that, we know that losses will come, James, and they're always hard to suffer. But when you see efforts like that, we're building towards something and gives you just that greater confidence that, we should be, and I believe we are finally on the right path.
Yeah, correct. And there's actually a bit of substance about us now. It's not all hit and miss. We were either breakneck speed going forward, but we didn't have the defense to match it. You can see that defensive pressure is really there as well. So when we don't have the footy, we are working just as hard to try and win the ball back. And I don't think we can say that's always been the case.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, that was a great win and moved us into second on the ladder at the end of the round. Obviously gets us ready to play the Pies on Anzac Day, second versus third. So that's the highest the two teams have been going into an Anzac Day since 2000, right? And we all know Jesus. We all know how 2000 ended up. So, just putting it out there.
I'll take that as a moment.
But fantastic, and we're all hoping about Zach Merritt. Hopefully, common sense prevails, and Zach will be able to play. Really good win, and one of our best wins, I'd say, in the last 5 years. I would say that win.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of credit has to go to Brad Scott, because we wouldn't have seen this footy with Truck coaching. And, that might sound like it's very harsh on Truck, but he just didn't have the conviction to speak to the players like Brad is. Yeah. And one of the great things I heard this week is that the Essendon players, someone said off record,
mm-hmm.
they said, Brad Scott made it clear. He's not our mate. He's our coach.
Yep.
And he'll ask us to do things and hold us accountable, but he also give us good feedback when we do the right thing. But he made it very clear to us he's not going to be our mate. And I thought, you know what? I know, we're different generations, but maybe this generation needs a coach like that sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, the one thing I'll say, for Truck is, I think sometimes, like, when he first came in, he tried to, reignite the connection of the club to Windy Hill, like a homeland and the history of the club. Like, that was excellent. I think in his mind, he may have had a clearer vision of what he wanted. But there's one thing between having a vision and being able to implement it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the big difference. And potentially, that might be due to years of experience that Brad Scott has that unfortunately Rutten just doesn't have under his belt yet. So he may be a great coach in years to come. But Brad Scott has been able to come in, make his assessments and implement what he sees as the best way forward. And we've seen that in a number of ways. Yes, on field with the game plan. Like, we are so much better structured than we have been for 20 years, Jane. But also off field, like you talk about little things like the match selection. Like, before it was a cast of thousands, picking the side. Whereas now they've refined that and gone, well, no, really, let's bring it down to what, three blokes or whatever it is currently. So to have that conviction to not have as many chefs spoiling the broth is excellent. And I think another thing you hear is that he simplifies the message. Like, we've seen in the last few years that the players were confused about their role in the team and the game plan that they wanted to implement. But it seems like everyone is now, from the outside looking in, it looks like everyone's more certain of what their role is for the side and how that builds into the bigger picture. So being able to simplify that message, and there's a real art to that, Jane, that obviously Brad Scott has been able to bring in to our sort of leadership ranks, which is obviously filtered down to the players, and we're seeing the rewards of that by the style of play. I wouldn't say necessarily like the wins and losses ratio. I think that's almost beside the point. But the style of play is far more reliable. You can see that everyone kind of knows their role and how they fit into the side. when we talk about the difference between, you know, Rutten and Scott, I don't want it to seem like we're just hanging on Rutten all the time. But it's, I suppose, acknowledging the differences that each person has been able to bring. And, yeah, certainly we're very appreciative of, yeah, Brad Scott and the message to be able to, I suppose, yeah, not only sell to the players, but I suppose instill in the group. Because it's far more team focused and oriented than what we've seen in previous years.
Yeah, and I think one of the great things is we used to rely on, you know, players like Peter Wright or Jake Stringer to kick 4 or 5 goals a game to, you know, keep us in the match. We're now generating goals through multiple avenues. And even without Peter Wright and Jake Stringer, as we saw, only kicked 1 goal, we're still able to score over 100 points against, you know, a former Premier, which is a you know, big tick in my view of great coaching. And, yeah, even with the, when you look at the selection, now a few of us questioned, how could you keep picking Heppel? Well, the last 2 weeks he's vilified that, like, hasn't he? Like, he's,
yeah.
Heppel's been brilliant. He hasn't tried to do too much. He's just done what he's capable of, but he's used the ball so well. And I'm sure Heppel's very happy with the support. And the easy decision would have been just to drop him.
Yep.
He's kept him in the side, and he said he sees Heppel as a on field coach. Mm-hmm. And us as fans sometimes want to have too much say. Like, even with Will Snelling being named over Ben Hobbs, you know, I was a little bit disappointed with that. I would have loved to see Ben Hobbs play.
Yep.
But when you see what Will Snelling comes out and does, kicks a couple of goals, gets 10 tackles for you, that again shows you, hey, coaches pick the side, and the fans might have their favourites and who they want to see in the side.
Yep.
But they're the ones selecting their side for the style they want to play. And, hats off to Chris Scott and the team selection for picking players like Snelling and
Brad Scott.
Yeah. Brad Scott, sorry. Yeah. And, of course, even picking Nick Hind as a sub.
Yep.
Yeah. He that was a winner too, coming in and kick 2 goals in a quarter. And, you know, that was when Melbourne were coming at us. So, great selections. And, look, it's easy to laud someone when you're going well. Mm-hmm. We know we've got a tough run coming up. So let's see how Brad is going to cope with this going forward. But so far, he's done very well. Let's have a break, mate. We'll come back with our votes for the game. And you're listening to the Donscast. And, mate, as we do each week, it's time for the Donscast medal votes.
Absolutely, James. I'll kick us off as per usual. And this one was another tough one, James. We had plenty of blokes who put up their hand. So, you know, you could easily give votes to, you know, any number of blokes. But as we always do, we limit it to the 5. So I'm sure there'll be some conjecture or, differing opinions, which we always welcome. But for me, I went 1 vote to Phillips. I thought his aggression of the contest really helped Draper, obviously, but really helped nullify Grundy's influence. And I thought there was a particular time in the game in that second quarter where Grundy was threatening, but he wasn't allowed to, I suppose, take the game out of his own terms because, you know, Phillips was right in his face. He was stretching him in defence and, taking marks, kicking goals, and really keeping him accountable there. And just the way that, you know, even when it got wet, Phillips was still taking big marks, contested marks at that, I thought was, absolutely, you know, just brilliant play from him. And, yeah, at the end of the day, he's only had eight possessions or so? 12 possessions, sorry. 6 big marks, 21 hitouts, so he obviously did his work in the middle there. Had a couple of clearances to add to his name as well. But the two goals I thought was deserving of vote, playing a really good role for the team. So, yeah, one vote to Phillips there. Two votes I gave to Langford. I thought, yeah, to kick a couple of goals is great, but he also had three goal assists, Jane. Just the way he was able to spot up blokes in better positions and get them involved in the game was excellent. Took six marks throughout the game. I think, you know, possession-wise, he didn't set the world on fire in the other 16. But what he did do, when he did have the opportunities, he used it well, had the nine score involvements, three intercept possessions, and, eight contested possessions. And, you know, we saw how he, turned May inside out. And I thought just his game awareness, the little things he did without the footy, were just as good as what he did with the footy. So I thought he was worthy of a couple of votes there. Three votes I went for Andy McGrath. And then, you know, this bloke, he's really impressed this season, not by, you know, I suppose brilliance or anything like that, but just the solid way he plays his role and, really gets us up and about. You know, he had the nine intercept possessions, Jane, seven contested with six score involved as well. So when he did get the footy, he not only, got it out of our back half, but got us going forward. And the big thing I liked from his game was he laid four tackles. And, that's certainly an area of his game we've asked him to improve, and he's absolutely done that. 24 disposals in a day, used it pretty well. So I thought, worthy of a few votes there. The four votes, I went for Darcy Parrish. Now, he's one of been critical of previously because he hasn't used his left foot. And in this game in particular, James, I saw him spot up a couple of nice passes on the left. Now, he's not registered as having any goal assists, but that's only from a result of, those kickers, Snelling, and I'm pretty sure it was Langford, James, not putting those opportunities through because easily could have had a couple of goal assists to his name. But also, it wasn't just the 34 disposals. Like, we all know he's a ball magnet, but he presented all game, had five marks, six clearances, which is great to see. But it was just the way he used the footy, had the eight score involvements, seven intercept possessions, and of all his possessions, he had 17 contested. So worked bloody hard, got us inside 58 times. I thought, it was a really good game from Parrish, and loved what he brought to the table. The five votes, though, had to go Jordan Ridley. I thought he was fantastic all day. 23 disposals, seven marks, 505 meters gained, and a goal assist to go with it. I thought he was just so solid all day. Seven intercept possessions and four contested. I thought he set us up all day, Jane, and didn't look like getting beaten. So that's my five, Jane. But how about yourself? How'd you read it?
Yeah, I loved the game, and it was really hard to get votes. So surprisingly, mate, we got a couple of very similar. So I'll start with mine. I went five for Parrish. I thought he really played a great game in terms of his contested footy. Mm. Had to win a lot of ground balls to move the ball forward, and that really linked us up well and set up goal opportunities. As you said, he might not be registered with goal assists, but certainly started where he collected the ball on many times. Mm. So great game by Parrish. He gave four to Ridley as well. I really loved Ridley's game. Just the way he holds us up, and this is the Ridley that we knew. I think last year he seemed to be playing within himself for some reason. Obviously, I had to question the coaching what that is, because he's such an asset for us. Yeah. And he didn't seem to be enjoying his footy, but certainly changed this year, and he's used the ball very well, which we usually can bank on.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like the game of McGrath, I gave him three votes. Love the way that he takes the ball at speed and just marches it up the ground. I think he's going to get better and better as he gets more settled in that position.
Mm.
The biggest criticism we usually have of Andy is sometimes he can just kick the ball willy-nilly and not really be concerned where it's going, just get it out of the area. Yep. But I think he's getting better at dissecting the opposition and moving it our way. So, yeah, I wanted to reward him. I gave 2 votes to Merritt, and Zach Merritt could easily have gone 5 votes for us, you know.
Yeah.
It's that kind of game. Loving the energy he's putting into his tackling and harassment of players of the opposition. Hate that he got sighted, but yeah, like I said, I love the way that he's really trying to lead the team in the defensive end as well, with his mentality of trying to make the opposition work to get the ball off us. And I gave 1 vote to Sam Draper for his 3 goals, and you know, he did a power of work, and he may have quietened as the game went on in terms of goal output, but wasn't there just for that. And he's just got that. He's just the way that he's able to spark up the team with his excitement. It's just great, and yeah, I wanted to reward him as well. So that was my 5 votes.
Yeah, beautiful, James. Well said. All right, so I'll tally up the votes, James. So starting from the bottom, you got 1 vote to Caldwell, 2 votes apiece to Draper and Thatcher, Zerk Thatcher rather, 3 votes to Phillips, 5 to Perkins, 7 to Setterfield, 8 to Stringer, 9 votes apiece to Zach Merritt and Andy McGrath, 10 to Kelly, 11 to Langford and Martin, 14 to Scheel, Ridley on 16, Parrish on 17, and still out in front is Mason Redmond on 25 Don's Cast Medal votes.
Yeah, fantastic. You know when your side's going well, when the votes are all around the same. There's not apart from, you know, Redmond being a little bit out, to be under 1 really good game in front shows you in out of 5 games that the side's pretty even. So that's a great thing. Yeah. Now, mate, there's been some breaking news, and the breaking news is that Taylor Adams has been given a 1-week suspension at this stage for his sling tackle against the Saints. I made reference to earlier that it looked like he'd got away with it, but that news had just come in that he's been given a 1-week ban.
Mm.
I'm sure Collingwood will appeal.
Yep.
I bet both cases will probably be heard tomorrow night. And let's hope it's not the case of Merritt's is upheld and, you know, Adams is let off. But, we'll wait and see on those.
Yeah. I mean, both of them should get off, James. I don't think either of them were, particularly malicious or anything like that. I just saw before Cal Toomey put up a tweet, basically comparing the sling tackle of Jordan Ngoi from the preseason, James. That was just given a fine. And when you, I suppose, compare that against Merritt's tackle, it's chalk and cheese, mate. The Ngoi tackle looks far more dangerous. And if that's given a fine as opposed to a week suspension, I think the AFL really need to think about what they're actually trying to punish here. But I would hope both Taylor Adams and Zach Merritt get off, because we all want to see the best players play the game. Let's hope for a good outcome for both sides tomorrow.
Yeah. Now, mate, as we go through, our VFLW team had its first win of the year. So after a draw and then followed up by 2 losses to the Saints and Carlton, I think it was. They come back and get a win on the weekend.
Yeah, which is just fantastic to see. To win by a couple of points. 37-35. Now, the one... maybe consistent theme through it, Essendon at AFL, VFL and VFLW levels, we need work on goal kicking, James, because we scored 4 goals, 13, 37 to the D's, 5 goals, 5. And when you're getting 17 scoring opportunities to their 10, you'd want to have a bit more lead than 2 points, but we take the win at the end of the day. Now, unfortunately, Paige Scott, who'd kicked a few goals throughout the game, unfortunately, she received a bit of a head injury. So it looks like, yeah, she'll be out for at least next week, which is, yeah, really disappointing for her and the team, because she scored three goals, three in the end, Jane, had 19 disposals, which is fantastic. So let's hope she gets back fit and firing pretty soon. But well done to the girls, because they've had a yeah, a tough couple of weeks, James. Some yeah, they got belted last week, and yeah, lost again the week before. We had a draw before that, so they hadn't had much success, but they've grinded out for a gutsy win.
Yeah, that's very good. And well done to the ladies for getting that win. Now our VFL team, mate, they went up against the unbeaten Casey Demons, and we went with them for about a half, mate. We were only a goal down, I think, just after half time. But yeah, then all of a sudden, the Casey got their straps on, and yeah, they put us to the sword in the end, and they end up winning by about 40 points.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like they're a bloody good side. You know, Casey, when they're up and about. I mean, like, you had blokes like Harms in there, who's you know, he'd be stiff to be missing out on. Only spot in the ones, yeah, as well as, yeah, unfortunately, Shaki got a hold of us, Jane, you know, kicking a few goals. And I guess it has to be, remember, yeah, we've got some blokes still developing. Yeah, we saw Mankara kick a goal, which is fantastic. You know, McDonald Tim Woody really fed him a couple of times to get him on the board. And it's great to see. I mean, this bloke has either not had possessions of the footy because he just seemed a bit lost at sea out there, or very few possessions. Now, we saw him get six possessions and kick one goal, one. And I think that is progress, Jay. Yeah, and full props to McDonald, Tim, Woody for feeding him that, because that would do wonders for his confidence. And I suppose when you see a friendly face out there feeding you those opportunities, yeah, I'm sure it'll help him along with his footy to no end. We also had... yeah, Nick Bryan back from injury, so that was good to see him. Yeah, get a game under his belt. Voss kicked a couple of goals, which is great to see. Now we've seen him play a bit of a new role in the last couple of weeks, like a bit of a sort of half forward role, as opposed to your stay at home, forward there, which is great for his development. I mean, to work on different areas of the game, getting more involved, and it seems like he has been able to show that. At times, so that'll be great for him. And then you got other blokes applying their trade. I mean, Rhett Montgomery continues to be such a solid presence down back. We've seen Alistair Lord, who a couple of weeks ago said, oh, you know, he's just not presenting and I suppose putting his impact on the game. Last couple of weeks, I've seen a real improvement. So I'm sure the coaches have been into his ear and getting him to really, ply his trade out there. So that's great to see that this bloke is being given the opportunity to give it a crack and sort of putting it out there. And Hobbs, again, just dominated, case of leather poisoning for him. His contested work was so good, and you dare say we'll see him back in the ones pretty soon, Jane. But it's a pretty tough side to crack into. So, plenty of work being done at the VFL level, and that competition for spots can only bode well, for the consistency of performance at all levels.
Yeah, correct. And, great to see Waller kick a couple of goals, I think. And, at least he set up a couple. I know that. And he looked quite sharp in the first half. I know that. So... with Davey being rested last week, I dare say with Jai Menzies, he had a pretty quiet game.
Yeah,
there might be an opening for one of those two to come into the side. But as we've seen with Brad Scott, mate, I'll let him choose the side, and
yeah,
I won't be offering any suggestions to him, because I'm sure he's got a better track record than me. So
absolutely.
All right, so let's have one more break and we'll come back with By the Numbers. And you're listening to Don's Cast as we go by the numbers. And, mate, we start with number one, Andy McGrath.
That's it, mate. Yeah, as I said, gave him 3 votes earlier, so not much more to add from me, but another really good game from Andy McGrath.
Yeah, fantastic, and I love the way that he really is applying himself to that position, really owning it and making it a tough day for whoever he mans up. So, well done, Andy. Sam Draper, he started the game brilliantly, kicking 3 goals in the first half and, you know, having a real influence in the ruck.
Certainly was, mate. Yeah, tough to, you know, miss out on votes after kicking, you know, 3 goals as the ruckman and, you know, presenting quite well throughout the day, but just one of those days where it was a real team effort. I thought it was another really good game from Draper. And, yeah, it just shows, like, just his energy and how he's able to lift blokes up as well as perform his own role. Yeah, it's just fantastic to see. And, you know, as he continues to grow and back himself, yeah, I'm really looking forward to, you know, seeing what this bloke can develop into in the next few years. But another, yeah, really good game from Sam Draper.
Darcy Parrish got plenty of the footy and worked bloody hard to get it too. And, you know, gave him best on. So what did you think of his game?
Yeah, no, great game from Parrish. Obviously gave him votes. So fantastic stuff from Darcy. And, you know, just his contested work. He just hunts the footy all day. And I just loving what he's doing out there.
Yeah, Cole Langford, you gave him votes, mate. He kicked a couple of goals and, you know, had the 16 disposals, 9 kicks, 7 handballs, 6 marks, no tackles, but you don't expect that from Kyle too much because, let's face it, he's not going to break any speed records, but he certainly represents us very well up forward and even down back when needed.
He does, mate. I thought it was a really solid game from Langford. As I said, like his game awareness and, footy smarts, really set him apart for mine. Which is why I gave him a couple of votes. So good game from Langford.
Now, Jai Caldwell, look, his effort to tackle, 6 tackles. And when he tackles to really hold him, mate. He really does. They look quite menacing, which is great from Jai. I think he'd like to find a bit more of the footy. He just had the 10 disposals, 6 kick, 4 handball, and took 3 marks. But I guess those shots at goals he'd like to correct, especially the ones straight in front. You know, you could see he's really annoyed with himself when he missed one of those shots. And, I've got no doubt he'll get better, but I think at times he'll have to be sent to the midfield just so we don't lose his real assets, which is, the way that he hunts the footy and can actually hold a tackle. I think he could do with a few more minutes in the midfield.
Definitely, James, and I guess that's one thing where, you know, Brad Scott seems quite determined to maintain that midfield of Shield, Setterfield, Parrish, and Merritt, and you can see why they're all class players. But that leaves little room for other blokes to have a crack in there. I mean, the same can be said about Perkins. You know, we've seen Stringer have a couple of bites of the cherry, he's pretty starved of opportunity in that midfield, Caldwell. So I think he's plying his trade quite well around the ground, but absolutely I'd love to see him in the middle. Now, I think, he was down on in terms of output in the game, but I'm sure he's playing a role for the side that, it's very difficult to see from the TV screen, Jane. As you say, he missed those couple of shots on goal, which, really you'd like. I think they should have gone through. They're only, 30 metres out or so. He wasn't on huge angles. So I think, in time, he'll clean that up. I think he had an okay game, but was fairly quiet, but he still remained involved with that tackle work, as you said, James. And I think, staying involved in the game, even when you aren't playing the best offensive game yourself, I think is really important. So, an okay game from Caldwell.
Zach Barrett led the team very well. 7 tackles, mate, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
35 disposals, 18 kicks, 17 handballs, 3 marks. And, one of the great things, he's used the ball pretty well at times, but in the wet, obviously had an impact on his kicking at when it's 66%, which is usually we see better from Zach, but loving his work rate on the defensive end.
Absolutely, James. Like, and this is one where I guess because we know what a great player he is, it's that sort of level he plays at is kind of expected. So kind of a victim of his own success there because, yeah, realistically, you look at the impact he had in the game, really does deserve votes. But look, is what it is. Like those seven tackles, as you say, James, like that's the area that he was challenged on in his game, and he's absolutely gone to work on that. And I think not only that, like his contested work was absolutely huge. Like he had 14 contested possessions out of his 35. So he wasn't just getting the easy pill and trying to get the trying to cherry pick his opportunities. He really worked hard for it. And I think as a leader, he really is leading by example. And even when he seems to almost not be in the contest, he finds a way to impact. I thought another fantastic game from Zach Merritt. Yeah, didn't have his kicking boots on, but on a wet day, it's a bit hard to be as accurate as you'd like. But I think another really good game from Zach Merritt.
And Dylan Scheel, again, another good game from Dylan, I thought. When neither of us gave him votes, but he still worked bloody hard in, the 28 disposals and 5 marks and 3 tackles. It's a pretty good afternoon against the Melbourne team.
But he is, mate, and 16 contested possessions for Scheel, which is absolutely brilliant because we know that, they got some tough hombres in there, James, that, Clayton Oliver, Petrarca, Brayshaw, these kinds of guys that, they don't shy away from a contest, and Scheel was able to, snaffle the ball away from 16 occasions, which is fantastic to see. Laid a few tackles, had a few clearances, like the 7 clearances, which is great. Had a ping at goal, unfortunately missed, but he's remaining dangerous, James, which I've really liked about his game this year. So I thought another really good performance from Dylan Scheel.
Will Snelling came into the side, mate. 10 tackles is just enormous. And, kicked a goal, had another shot, a goal as well. So he certainly earned his spot in the side.
Certainly did, James. Now, there was a play in particular from him on the wing, where it was basically a 1-on-2, as I remember, against, he's not a big bloke. So, of course, his opponents were going to be bigger than him. And he not only evened the contest initially, but he actually won the footy for us and got it going our way. And I thought, like, that kind of epitomises Snelling for mine. It's just work rate. There was no, class or any extraordinary ability needed there. It was just a want to win that contest. And he absolutely did that. And that's all you can really ask from this bloke. And I thought he came in, he played his role, applied the pressure that was required. So absolutely, validated his inclusion in the side. And I think, the issue is going to be, if we want to bring Davey back in, does Snelling go straight out? Because on what he brought in that game against Melbourne, it would be pretty tough to kick him straight out after that. Obviously, there's other guys going to be into consideration. As you say, Menzies didn't have his best game, but I thought Will Snelling, he did well.
Yeah, he did very well. Will Setterfield, mate, he did a great job early on Clayton Oliver, and even though everyone, the commentators seemed to think it was the greatest thing in the world that Oliver had 41 disposals, but after having only 2 in the first quarter. But I would say he was not that damaging, Clayton Oliver. Yep. I'd let someone have 40 disposals if they're not hurting us by foot. I certainly don't blame Will for Oliver getting off the chain. And look, he's still able to get 19 disposals himself. He's had 10 tackles, which is just massive. And he's just been a great asset to the side. And even though he wasn't playing strictly a tag, I should say, as well. So it wasn't like Oliver, he was on Oliver the whole time. But he certainly was a nuisance to Oliver, and that's all you want to achieve when you play on a really great player.
Absolutely, mate. Setterfield, I thought he played a fantastic role for us for all 4 quarters. As you say, like even though Oliver, he got his possessions, but he wasn't damaging because he knew that Setterfield was on his tail the whole time. So it would be quick hairballs or rush snaps, kicks off the deck, all that kind of stuff. So he wasn't able to hurt us. I think that is a real compliment to Setterfield, that he's been able to play a really important role for the side. And it wasn't only just Oliver, like laying the 10 tackles really sets a tone for that midfield. And I thought, another fantastic effort from Setters.
Now, Jordan Ridley, we both gave him high votes, mate. And just the way that he's controlling the air, seven marks in wet conditions. I thought he was very good and really, is a bit of a general down back now.
Yeah, certainly is. And another great game from Rids. Just fantastic stuff.
Another bloke that I nearly considered votes for was Jaden Laverty. I thought he played a ripper game. Just the way that he took eight marks in the wet. And all right, you might take away a few of those from chip kicks, from the back line, but he leads us so well down back. And as an undersized key position player, he does an enormous job for us.
Certainly does, mate. And obvious possessions, 10 of those were intercept possessions. So, as you say, they're not just chip kicks around the side or to and fro. These really get involved and, actually had almost 466 metres gained for us. So not only whipped it out of defence, but got us going the other way, which is great to see. Had the seven contested possessions as well and went at 90% disposal efficiency. I think it was definitely his best game of the season for us. Just loved his effort. Just kept willing himself at every contest, and those ones in particular against Melksham were pretty pleasing because Melksham had a paddock of space, and Lav just shut him down on each of those occasions, which is great to see and a real credit to him.
Archie Perkins got a little bit more of the footy this week. He got 16 disposals, three marks and three tackles, and kicked a classy goal. Where he's able to evaluate the goal line and navigate that. But I thought he played a pretty good game. And look, he plays that half forward role, and at times he can get lost there. But it was pleasing to see him get his disposals up a bit. And he's able to hold his ground, mate, when people tackle him.
Yep.
He's strong through his core and stand up, and you lose the tackle sometimes. So that's a really good skill to have.
Certainly is, mate. A really solid game from Archie. As you say, Joe, in that position he plays, you can find yourself in a bit of no man's land at times. But he kept himself involved in the game, had six contested possessions. So you can see, the projection, once he does get a bit of midfield time, he'll be able to acquit himself quite well. Had nearly 400 metres gained for us. So of the 16 possessions, he used it to good effect. Laid a few tackles, which is great to see. I mean, he's still quite young, so his ability to hold the tackles is brilliant. So he shows defensive intent as well as the offensive flair that he's got. So I thought a really solid game for the young bloke.
Now, super sub Nick Hind, he came on, mate, and in the last quarter when the D's were threatening, he was able to kick out two goals, and they came at important times early in the first part of that last term, where the D's were really setting themselves to have a crack.
Yep.
And his first goal in particular was just a fantastic goal, how it just curled in, right? And it then took a really strong mark to go back and kick another one. So well done to Nick. And, he's had to work very hard to get into this side. And I dare say he's put his hand up for a spot.
Yeah, it was good to see him take his opportunities there. Kick a couple of goals, and his run, I think, brought a different dimension into our forward line for that game, because we were fairly static and sort of slow. I mean, you had Laverty, Jones, Stringer, so you're not going to Langford rather, Jones, Stringer, so you're not setting the world on fire in terms of pace. So he brought a different element there, which is great to see. And I guess he played the role that was required of him, did it to aplomb. Whether he maintains his spot, I'm a bit more iffy, Jane, because I think, really he's more suited down half back, but I don't see any of those blokes coming out for Nick Hind. So unless he reinvents himself and is happy to play that super sub role as a pocket to be dangerous. But even then, you've got plenty of selection dilemmas there. So, yeah, he played well, but I think he's still got plenty of work to do to cement himself in the side. But it's great to see him take the opportunity as he got it.
Dyson Heppel, mate, we have to take our hat off to Dyson. He was under immense pressure, not only from our supporters, but, you know, also from the footy public. You know, there's a lot of articles about him and so forth. And just the way that he's been able to respond, you know, he came on earlier than expected in the his first game after that, which was last week against the Giants, and had to come on in the second term and really held up his end of the bargain. And this week he had to play a bit of a half-back role. And I was a bit nervous about that, mate, against a team like Melbourne. But, gee, it was important. You know, he laid four tackles, took seven marks, and, you know, his support was definitely noticed, and I thought he played a really good game.
No, he did, mate. It was very solid. You know, he does still have that footy smarts about him, which is good to see. You know, put his body on the line when he needed to lay those tackles, take a few important marks when the ball was bobbling up towards that sort of half forward area of the D's. Played a good game there, Dawson Heppel, and hopefully maintains the rage in games to come.
Now, Sam Durham, I thought he played one of his best games for the club. Just the way that he wants that footy, really admirable, and he had a really good game. He had the 24 disposals, mate, 6 kicks. It's showing that he's a real link-up player. He had 18 handballs, 4 marks and 2 tackles. And, as I said, it's that real – he's got a bit of a brutality to his game where he really sees ball, get ball. And I love that kind of effort that he shows in his willingness to try and win the footy.
Absolutely, James. He's definitely one I considered for a vote because, as you say, I did think it was one of his best games for the club. He's hard at it. Took some beautiful grabs, James. Like, he's got nice hands. He's still fairly slimly built. So once he fills out a bit, it'd be great to see. It's good to see him, holding his tackles, having a couple of clearances, and you just love the intent and effort this bloke shows game in, game out, and just the way he's able to run all day. You see him at one end of the ground and see him up the other end affecting a contest. Is just brilliant, and it's all just effort. So definitely Brad Scott, I'm sure Sam Durham would be one of his favourites.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Harry Jones unfortunately went off just before three-quarter time. He kicked a goal. Look, his endeavour was there to put some pressure on too, mate. I saw him a number of times make big strides to try and get a tackle in. He got one tackle, but, the effort was there every time the ball went forward.
Yep.
Look, he's still working himself into the game. You know, he's just a player that doesn't seem to find the footy easily. Like, he's only had the 5 disposals. But on a wet day, he's slightly built. I just think Harry's someone we're going to keep persevering with. Obviously, Brad's got a lot of faith in him. To keep playing him, and while Peter Wright's out, there's been a reluctance to go to Pat Boss over Harry Jones. So we have to back the coaches in. They must know what they want out of their forward positions. But he's had a slow start to the season, but it was great to see him kick a goal in the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I've said previous weeks, I still think we persist with him. I mean, depending on whether he's injured or not, obviously. I think, his stat sheet doesn't show the amount of work he's doing. I do think he really needs to develop his physicality in this game. Like, he unfortunately plays for freeze too often. He doesn't go hard enough at contests. I think he does get worried out of it and doesn't back himself fully. But I'm not sure you're going to, learn that much in the VFL. That's just how I see it. That's not a slight on the VFL system, but I mean, when you look at the size of of blokes. Patrick Voss at what, 6'4 or 6'3 even, kind of almost towers over some blokes, but that's not what I suppose a key forward is in the AFL. Like, you need at least a couple more from there. So I think Harrison Jones, really needs to work on that area. But yeah, in saying that, I'd love to see him persist with. But if you're not, kicking goals and I suppose producing the output required, and you've got blokes knocking down the door as a Paddy Voss, then his position is up for grabs. I'd like to see him, take a bit more of his opportunities. I think he's working hard, but just does still need to work on the physical side of his game.
Yeah. Jake Stringer, look, he looked a little bit slow out there, I thought, in the game. I thought he was, I don't know if he was, obviously he's not injured, but look, Jake's not known to be lightning fast, but at times he just really did seem plodding at times. He's still able to kick 1-3, mate, so he got plenty of looks. Wasn't his biggest game, but I also thought he's a bit of a decoy trying to keep May out of the main part of the ground. So I think, there may have been a strategy for him to take May out of our forward, their defensive end, to try and open up some spaces for our players to run onto the ball and kick goals.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I see it. I think he kind of played a bit of a selfless game, Joe. And I will say for Stringer, like he's not as fast as lightning, but sometimes his tackling intent was absolutely brilliant. Like, only listed as having the 3 tackles, but he was definitely making his presence known out there, James. If he'd kicked 3-1, all of a sudden we're talking a different game for Stringer. I think he did have a solid game for us. He made his presence known when needed, and realistically, without him playing on May, I think May, would have had much more of an influence, taking a lot of intercept marks, when we kicked into our forward line. So I think there's a lot to be said there. So I think, not his greatest game, but I think a solid game still for Jake Stringer.
Yeah. Now, Mason Redmond, probably quite a game disposal-wise, just the 16 disposals. He's had 4 tackles and still provided that run from the back line. And, I really liked his game, and I really liked the conviction he has when he goes for the footy. There's a couple of times where it was contested balls, and he really ran through them, mate, and really made the ball his own. And, I thought it was a really good game by Mason.
Yeah, it was, mate. And you just look at, like, the 16 possessions had 602 metres gained. So, his running parry was just brilliant. Had a goal assist as well, which is great. Nearly, dobbed that one from outside 50, which would have been brilliant. But, those 4 tackles in that defensive end, worth their weight in gold. And I think he, played a really good role for the side.
Now, talking about selfless players, mate, Jake Kelly, look, he only had 8 disposals, but he would have done his job. And, sometimes less is more with Jake. Like, he doesn't need the ball in his hand.
Yeah.
But he's such a good negator. I think we'd really notice if he wasn't in the team.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I think he played his role. So not an outstanding game, but very solid. So well done, Jake Kelly.
Brandon Zerk Thatcher, we saw him get injured early in the game, mate, but was able to get back out there. And even though he looked like in some duress, he certainly played his role and did some really nice. He's getting a bit of a trend, mate, of actually sidestepping his opposition. And that shows his confidence with the footy. But I thought another great game from Brandon, a really important role, playing that key position role.
Absolutely, James. Just his ability to will himself to a contest and get that late fist in to punch the ball away, I thought was fantastic. As I mentioned earlier, he seemed to go down with a bit of an ankle injury, but still found a way to make an impact on the game where you think, he was kind of on half a leg and still managed to play a really important role for us. So I think well done to Zerk, and Yeah, hopefully he's still fit and firing against the Pies next week.
Yeah, well, he'll definitely benefit from the game being, you know, almost 10 days since our last match.
Yep.
So, yeah, definitely got a bit more time to get himself right. Now, the second part of the Twin Towers, mate, Andrew Phillips, you found votes for him. I found a vote for him. And, yeah, he was so important for us. Kicked a couple of goals, had 21 hitouts. And yeah, it's just his presence in the side can't be undervalued.
Absolutely, James. I thought he played a fantastic role for us. And, a real big body that shows that bit of physicality. He really monstered Grundy at times. So I thought, fantastic game from Andrew Phillips.
Yeah. Now, Nick Martin, he's able to kick a couple of goals on the weekend, mate. Didn't have as much of the footy as he usually does, just the 17 disposals. But, he plays such an important role on that wing and, you know, going a bit forward as well. But, yeah, what did you think of Nick's game?
I thought he actually played a really good game. I did consider him for votes. And I'm pretty surprised when I look at the stat sheet that he went at 58.8% disposal efficiency, because I thought he was far more effective than that. To kick a couple of goals and definitely shows that real nous to get involved in that link up play. Like he's a real important member of that side now. He kind of reminds me of a sort of Carousella slash Blomfield kind of player that really helps us work through traffic. He's got real good game awareness about him. I'm really looking forward to this bloke. Yeah, developing in body size and confidence in years to come. I think he's got to be an absolute beauty, potentially in the inside mid role. So another really good game from Nick Martin.
And then finally, mate, Jai Menzies. Look, he had a really tough day at the office, to be said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a play there, mate, where he got the ball and he was in the goal square and he almost froze, it looked like. It was like he ran out of room and didn't know what to do. So almost just waited to be tackled.
Yeah.
And look, Jai, obviously he came from our mid-season draft last year and he's done a great job holding his spot for the first five games.
Mm-hmm.
I think the pressure will be coming now, especially with Waller had a couple of games in the twos. You got Owen Davey Jr. waiting to come in. So, having said that, Jai Menzies got that bigger body of him. He's actually, last week he played a little bit more pushed up to a wing almost at times.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see which way they go with selection, if Jai can hold his spot and, because Will Snelling did such a great job with those tackles and so forth. So, yeah, I'll be very interested to see with match selection for the Pies game. But Jai Menzies had one of his quieter games.
He did, mate. He's still a young player in the system, so you definitely appreciate that. As you say, there was that one in the goal square. There was another one where, he almost spent the mark before he had it, which was just outside the goal square early in the game, but unfortunately that one spilled through his bread basket. But look, yeah, you're going to get that at times, from younger players, and you certainly, don't hold it against them. It's kind of, we used to have, basically no one, to play that, forward pocket role, and now we've got an absolute glut of players vying for those opportunities. So, if you're not playing your roles and kicking the goals, you got someone, trying to punch for that spot. And remembering we've also got blokes like Hobbs out of the side. It will be interesting to see how we go on the selection table, James. So not his best game from Jai Menzies, but I'll back him in to work himself back into form. Whether it's next week against the Pies or later on in the season.
Yeah. Now, other news, injury news for the Pies. We just learnt that McStay, or Dan McStay, he'll miss 8 weeks with a finger tendon injury. Yes. So their ruckman stocks are already hurting, and Dan was playing a little bit in a pinch hit ruck role. He's now been taken out of their side, and think Nick Murphy as well is under the protocols, so he'll miss the game as well. So, certainly it'll be a big game at selection, even before the bounce of Anzac Day, on which players get into the side for both teams. And obviously it's much sought after selection being announced for the Anzac game. So, there'll be a lot of pressure on spots, and we can look forward to that. And I'm really looking forward to the Anzac Day, and hopefully we can beat the Pies, because it's been too long, mate.
Bloody oath, mate. Yeah, let's get it done.
Yeah. All right. Well, till next week, or a bit more than the next week, mate, because their game's on Tuesday of next week.
Yep.
Till next time, go Bombers.
Go Dons.